Welcome back to Super Bracket Bros. My name is Jay, your host and your personal multiverse level bracketologist. And
you're multiverse level now?
After five episodes, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, that's a pretty high jump. What am I at?
Somewhere around wall level, I think.
God damn. Damn it.
It's okay, Eli. You'll get there.
Once I do an anime, a season of anime training, I should be good.
Yeah. So we are back once again. Today, we are continuing the West, and we're going to be starting off with the 2 vs. 7. We have Aang from The Last Airbender versus Lucario from Pokemon. What are your thoughts on these two fighters, Eli?
They both seem very zen. Of all the fighters in this tournament, these both seem to have kind of a calm, collected persona.
Yes, I would say that's most definitely true.
Except for Aang when, you know, he's being kind of a dork, but...
Yeah.
But they both seem to have... their power seems to lie in their spiritual prowess.
Yes. Let's go ahead and get into that. Lucario is the Aura Pokemon. Pokemon number 448 is a fighting steel type introduced in Generation 4, so that's Pokemon Diamond and Pearl.
My favorite.
Is that really your favorite?
That's the one I grew up on, so...
I mean, you're wrong, but...
Oh, dang.
That's okay.
Why? Which one's yours?
Ruby and Sapphire. But those are the ones that
I grew up with.
I started playing. Those are the first ones that I played, too.
Well, we know a judge of a person's character is based on what Pokemon games they grew up with, so...
Yeah, absolutely. Nothing else matters. Not their moral or political standing, but which generation of Pokemon. If it's after 4, then no.
They don't even count.
They don't even count. Lucario actually made his first appearance in a movie, Lucario and the Mystery of Mew, but his first game appearance was Diamond and Pearl, of course. And a quick Pokedex entry from Heart Gold and Soul Silver. It said that no foe can remain invisible to Lucario since it can detect auras, even foes it could not otherwise see. A more recent entry from Ultra Sun says it concentrates its mental energy and fires off mysterious waves called auras, which can crush boulders of large size to dust. Yeah, you kind of get the idea that it's a very powerful Pokemon, like you said, fighting steel type. A very unique typing if you're at all familiar with the Pokemon universe.
And I know I said that both fighters are very zen and mental specific fighters, but they both have strong physical prowess.
Yeah, absolutely. They're able to take that zen, take that aura, literally, and turn that into very powerful fighting prowess.
Now, I need to ask, when they say aura, what is that exactly? Is it sort of a spirit energy? Is it kind of a...
That's how it's sort of implied, at least that's how I interpret it. It's something that's more or less open to interpretation.
Is it as vague as the power of friendship?
It's not as vague as the power
then
of friendship.
Then we're good.
Then there's a baseline of understanding of what aura is. And now Aang. Many people recognize Aang as the main protagonist of Avatar The Last Airbender. Can you believe it came out in 2005?
What? Oh my god.
14 years ago.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, do you feel old now?
I do remember trying to like airbend on the playground in elementary school, so...
Oh, if you didn't try to pretend to bend in some capacity in elementary school, then you did not live as a child.
You were robbed.
Aang was a air nomad from the Southern Air Temple and, of course, the Avatar during the century-long conflict, creatively known as the Hundred Year War.
Just so we're clear, that's not the... the historically real Hundred-Year War. The English weren't waterbending at the French firebenders.
No. And so as the Avatar, of course, he's able to bend all four elements, air, water, earth, and fire.
Now, just so we're clear, this is season 3, end of the series.
Yes.
Because there is the Legend of Korra.
The Legend of Korra, and I was tempted to go with the adult version of Aang, but that would just be... way too much speculation.
Yeah, we have no idea what he can do.
Exactly. We can speculate, but...
This is also rare territory where we both have a pretty well-established knowledge of the fighters.
Yeah, Lucario is one of my favorite Pokemon, my favorite Smash character to play because of his aura ability, which we'll probably talk about at some point. But also, we both watched Avatar. I mean, how many times have you probably watched the series?
I'd say definitely 3. Pretty sure
that's what I was going to say. Probably 3 or 4 times. Probably somewhere between 3 and 4. because I watched it all the time when it was on, so I watched multiple episodes at that time.
Well, it was just such an accessible show.
Oh yeah.
And
being on Nickelodeon, like, it's not obscure, like, it's in the mainstream, but still, like, I can watch it today and really appreciate
it. Yeah, it's still super well made. And that's one thing, one of the best parts about the show is the consistent sort of magic system. Like, mm-hmm. we're not dealing with power of friendship or anything. No. The powers in Avatar universe are very concrete with what people can do.
Absolutely. You know, it's even different from, say, like, an anime where you have people that go above and beyond. They go above 100%, which happens all the time. But I feel like Avatar The Last Airbender, like, you pretty much know exactly what all these characters can do mm-hmm. at any given moment in the series.
Especially, I mean, there were some abilities that popped up, but towards the end of the series, everything was pretty concrete.
Oh, yeah.
There is that Zen bending thing, which we need to touch on, but we'll cross that bridge.
So now we know who these fighters are. Aang is the 2 seed, so it's going to be home field advantage for him. We have quite a few places to pick. From
there are so many places. My first thought, what if you go with Aang's home in the Southern Air Temple?
That's kind of what I was leaning towards. Other places that came to mind at the very last scene of season 3 where he fights the Fire Lord. Like,
oh, Oolong Forest.
That's such a cool location. Mm. Like, with the pillars.
That would,
like,
be perfect here with Lucario.
Exactly. Like, that would be pretty dope.
But that seems like later stages. Like, I think we should start off pretty.
Like, the Southern Air Temple, I think it's a great
place. And plus, we love the final battle scene because of those pillars. The Southern Air Temple has pillars. And
yeah, it does. It's still very much an advantage.
So we're not going to be robbed of our dope ass fight.
No, definitely not. Stick with the Southern Air Temple and let's get into it. Do you have any initial thoughts about how this battle starts off?
So Aang isn't a super, like, striking character.
No.
No, his first ability was the airbending, which is more sort of based on manipulating the opponent against them.
Yep.
And even though Aang has mastered earth and firebending, which are a lot more offensive, I still think at his core, he's more of a defensive, more of an elusive fire.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in the many wikis I read leading up to this, the word pacifist was mentioned many times.
Yeah, and you saw that at the end when he was fighting to, like, try and eliminate Ozai. He didn't want to.
No, there's no eliminating. He's a defensive character. He's going to go on the defensive in an attempt to preserve life, knowing, especially at the end, how powerful he himself is.
And in contrast, Lucario seems like a striking character. He's a fighting type. He has attacks like bullet punch. He seems mm-hmm. to be, I imagine this fight is going to be Aang beginning with the defensive and Lucario just throwing fists first.
Yeah, I think Lucario is going to go for it. Going into this, knowing that it's a fight, part of me wants to say that he's going to hesitate fighting a human because that's awkward. But I think between these two characters, if you're talking who's going to go after who first, Lucario, like you said, being the fighting type, understanding the situation, is going to be able to come after Aang.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is a good time to bring up some of his moves and exactly how we're going to approach Lucario in this battle.
Right, because we have the Pokemon games, the Super Smash Brothers games, and
plus the movies that he's in, and the anime of Pokemon. So
with Aang, it's pretty concrete, but with Lucario, how are we handling this?
So, like other characters, it'll be the Super Bracket Bros version of Lucario. So it's going to be some amalgamation of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the moves that he can learn in the games, and this only includes moves that he himself can learn without outside assistance, so a Lucario would learn this just simply by leveling up. So it includes his bread and butter, which is Aura Sphere. He can learn Quick Attack, Power Up Punch, Swords Dance, Bone Rush, which is a ground type move. But he also has access to Close Combat and Extreme Speed, which is a more deadly version of Quick Attack.
Those are the most anime, like, attacks, you know?
They are. Like, I could see, like, those popping up on the screen of My Hero Academia at any time.
No, sound like quirks, don't they?
Yeah.
So, do we want to approach it? Because in the video games, he can only have 4 moves. So, for this hypothetical, would you say just a general knowledge of moves. Not particularly those specific moves, but...
Right. I'm going to say, like, he's going to be specialized in a couple of those moves. Like, Aura Sphere is going to be his go-to move because it's... Lucario is the only Pokemon that can learn that.
Yeah,
move.
He can't not have it.
Besides, like, a Mew or whatever, because I know you were already typing that out.
You see the Legion of Angry. Yeah,
exactly.
They're getting ready for Sword and Shield by yelling at you.
Lucario, Aura Sphere, Bone Rush is one you see a lot in the anime. I think Extreme Speed is something that's used as well. I think that's what his recovery move is called in Super Smash Bros. I think the other thing I want to talk about is Lucario... The reason he's my favorite is he has a unique ability in Super Smash Bros. And that's the more damage he takes, the more damage his attacks do.
Mm-hmm.
I would really like to include that in some capacity here, but not to the same degree that I rely on it. That I may or may not rely on it in Super Smash Bros.
Well, I really want to include it because it contrasts perfectly with Aang, where Lucario gets stronger, you know, the more rage he builds up.
Mm-hmm.
Aang is more about keeping calm and keeping focused.
Absolutely. So. And, yeah, I think that's a worthwhile inclusion. So I feel like that's a pretty good way to go with Lucario.
As we're talking, this is really reminding me of the Sora Spyro fight, where this is a higher seed versus a lower seed, but the lower seed has a lot of tools at their disposal.
Lucario, I mean, just by virtue of being a Pokemon, has lots of moves at his disposal. I think that's definitely worth noting. So I think it's fair to say Lucario is either going to open this up by going straight for a quick attack or like an extreme speed or an aura sphere.
Mm-hmm.
I think Lucario is going to open this up with his bread and butter, his aura sphere, and that's going to be a long range attack where essentially he creates this blue ball of energy and shoots it at his opponent. And that's a unique move because it's a fighting special attack, and he's going to launch that at Aang, which Aang is going to be able to dodge just because he's an airbender. He's going to be able to summon his own ball of air and roll around on
it. Yeah, that's my first thought, is he is going to hop on that quintessential air scooter and dip out of there. But my question is, would Aang be able to... What is the aura sphere like, damage-wise? Like, is it a physical attack? Is it a...
So it is classified as a special attack. It's very unique. Most fighting attacks are physical attacks. You know, it makes sense that they're fighting.
Yeah.
But it's unique that it's a special attack. What that does in the video games is it, when it hits an opponent, it goes against their special defense.
Okay.
And so I think if we're continuing to talk in Pokemon terms, like Aang being the Zen Master isn't going to take a whole lot of damage from this aura sphere, especially if we take into account that it's not going to be at its most powerful early in this battle.
So can I assume that when the aura sphere makes contact with something, it like disperses and vanishes? It's not going to be a ball that just stays there.
No, Lucario is not secretly Mineta. The aura spheres, when they make contact, they disperse. It's not a solid material.
So I can imagine the first probably minute or so of this fight is just going to be Lucario striking at Aang, and Aang being his airbender reflexes, just dodging and weaving. At what point do you think Aang makes the first attack? Because, you know, he's not like a offensive guy.
No, he's not offensive. That's where Aang has the early advantage, with being able to use his airbending to dodge and be able to assess exactly what Lucario is all about.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Aang, if Lucario continues to launch aura spheres, I don't think Aang's going to go to firebending right away, just because we see in the series that he's not very inclined to go with firebending.
Right.
So I think he'll start to incorporate earth into his bending defensively and a little bit offensively.
Now remind me, because Lucario is steel type, what's steel type's relationships with the other elements?
So with the fighting steel type, he's going to have resistance to water. He's going to be neutral against air, but he's going to be weak to fire and earth.
Okay.
Yeah, that is something to consider throughout this battle, because we're incorporating all facets of Lucario.
We're just waiting for when Aang remembers Toph.
Yeah.
And just he's a huge boulder at Lucario, and he jumps out of the way, and they both land on two pillars and have that, like, ninja pose staring at each other. Where Aang is going to say, like, I don't want to hurt you, stranger, but you leave me no choice. And Lucario looks at him and goes, Lucario!
So yeah, I think that's something definitely to consider is the earthbending.
That's an Academy Award winning scene. I hope you realize that.
Yeah, you go ahead. You submit that to whatever Academy you want. You see how far that gets. I want to take these two IPs from two totally different
that universes. I have no rights to whatsoever.
And then I'm going to write a screenplay about them. But it's cool, right? Yeah.
The Academy of the Internet will appreciate it.
That's what we're hoping for.
Anyway, yeah, they're both, I'm assuming they trade initial blows, dodge them, and then sort of they felt each other out now.
Exactly, yeah. I think they're both fast enough to be able to kind of feel each other out, get an idea of what they're dealing with. Take a couple hits here and there, but neither is going to do a whole lot of damage. I think both of these characters are going to be slowly escalating to do their maximum amount of damage.
And I want to ask, how does each fighter stand on an intelligence level?
So Lucario is one of the only Pokemon that's capable of human speech. He speaks telepathically to humans.
Oh no, my scene got disrupted. You compromised it. I know I gotta rip up my screenplay.
And so it's implied because of that, that he's one of the more intelligent Pokemon. And you see that in various battle scenes, that he's able to operate on his own and without a trainer. And so Lucario is a pretty intelligent battle-wise. I would say that Aang, I guess, how would you just define his battle intelligence? I feel like instinctually, Aang is very strong.
Yeah. But he's not... Aang is not the brightest bulb. I think his blind sort of naivety to the world, being that he was frozen for so long and he's still a kid at heart, I don't think he's developed that combat prowess. You saw in his fight, even the final fight with Ozai, it was more of an emotional, you know, attack.
Yeah, that's very true. You're going through the back catalog of fights in my brain, they're all impressive. But at various times, he does over-rely on just having access to different elements for shock value against other benders. But that's something that, in the short time that the series takes place, he's not able to learn all the moves that you normally would as a bender. I mean, he's, what, 13 years old? Yeah. He goes from 12 to 13 in the course of the series.
And like, he learns a lot, but I don't think pragmatically he learns a lot, if that makes sense.
Especially if you put it up against, like, Pokemon just learn based on leveling up. Like, the moves are a part of their genetics. Like, yeah. That's part of who they are, is to perform those moves.
So I put Aang in sort of the same category as like Captain America or Luffy, where he's more of an emotional fighter.
Yeah.
Where Lucario, would you say Lucario was going to be the analytic one in this?
In this battle, yeah, absolutely. Like versus these two, like Lucario is going to take a much more analytical approach. And I think this is the case where he goes into the fight and sees Aang as an airbender.
A flying type.
A flying type, exactly. And says like, okay, I can take this guy. And I think that's where Aang being the avatar comes in handy, being able to slowly introduce these different move types.
I like the scene of Lucario sees the, you know, airbending and be like, okay, a flying type. And then Aang throws a rock and he's like, okay, dual typing, I can handle this. And then he throws water. It's like, what the fuck? And then fire. He's just like, no, this isn't how this works.
Just totally messed up. Do you know what time it is, Eli?
I don't know, Jay. What time is it?
It's halftime. First official segment of Super Bracket Bros. I hope you're excited.
I am excited. It only took us, what, 3 or 4 episodes to start changing the format?
Yeah. So this is just going to be a very small section. We're going to do a bonus round, so we'll have a matchup that was suggested by a listener, which may or may not only include our best friends from high school at this point, but we'll include a matchup suggested by a listener. So let's first talk about this matchup. A dear friend of the show, Gordon Patterson.
Gordon Patterson?
Suggested Frozone from the Incredibles universe versus Katara from the Airbender universe.
Ooh, okay.
Got any initial reactions to this one?
Well, from what I see a girl who can manipulate water versus Samuel L. Jackson. So I'm...
Animated. Samuel L. Jackson.
Like, there is no animated, there is only Samuel L. Jackson. There's no Nick Fury, there's no Frozen, there's only Samuel L. Jackson.
So sorry, yeah.
So Katara's at a distinct disadvantage by not being Samuel L. Jackson.
Any characters in this tournament are at an automatic disadvantage by not being Samuel L. Jackson. That's what I learned here today. So Frozone wins.
Well, like, okay, let's not make it a wash. Let's entertain the idea.
Entertain the idea of Katara winning. So,
however unrealistic it may be.
I think the advantage here for Frozone is he doesn't need water to create ice. He just freezes the air.
Ah, but he doesn't even need to drink water, doesn't he? Or was that... No, he was just tricking the cop in that beginning scene.
Yeah, he was just messing with the cop. But... That is a good point, but yeah, I'm pretty sure he just shoots the ice and just, like, appears wherever he commands it.
Isn't that fucking busted? That's pretty busted, right?
I mean, I guess you could call it busted because we don't see, like, the limitations of his powers because he's not exactly the main character. Because Samuel L. Jackson is never the main character. Katara was a main protagonist of Last Airbender.
And she was the... I mean, yeah, you got a point. Well, like, what did Katara do? Like,
well, I think she could manipulate the ice that Frozone creates. She has water bending. She's got water on her person at any given time.
Yeah, like a jug. Yeah. Frozone has the molecules of air.
Sorry, I'm just imagining Katara running around with satchels and satchels of water, like, and jugs of water, like, attached to her hip at all times.
And she's just throwing water at him, and Frozone just, like, sends a huge ice blast at her.
He just freezes it instantly.
Okay, look, I don't want to make this a wash.
Oh, man. But, oh, I mean, really didn't think it was going to be a wash. Frozone wins.
Look, Katara will put up a... She's a master waterbender. She could probably manipulate some of Frozone's ice.
Yeah.
She's, you know, smart, intelligent, has high constitution, is a great fighter.
Mm-hmm.
But she's not Samuel L. Jackson.
No.
I think that's what it boils down to.
So, just so you know, for any future matchups you suggest, if Samuel L. Jackson's included in it, he's going to win.
Well, yeah, if you put Nick Fury, he's like, he's not even in the tournament. He's the secret end boss for the winner.
You ruined the surprise.
Damn it. Anyway, thanks for tuning into the Samuel L. Jackson podcast.
Well, after we do this tournament, we'll have to have a tournament of Samuel L. Jacksons.
Oh!
So as to none of them have a disadvantage. I mean, I guarantee we could do it. But first... decision made.
Halftime show. Half-time show. Fucking disrespectful for these two fighters to just be shorted in. Just halftime entertainment.
If you disagree with us, please let us know. Yeah, so we've shoehorned them in as halftime entertainment. I'm sure they would both appreciate that so much if they were conscious beings in the universe, but thankfully not. Anyways, also just wanted to include a little audience feedback on our last episode. We had Bakugo versus Sonic, and one thing we never talked about was the Chaos Gems for Sonic.
We both knew about it, but... It's kind of the whole Infinity Stone thing, where that's like endgame power-up stuff.
And... Exactly. I mean, it's not necessarily endgame, like, he uses them throughout the games, and, like, it's certainly a part of it, but it's more of an outside force than we're willing to give any given character.
Yeah, it's not constantly on Sonic's character, so.
But it's a very good point. If he had any of the Chaos Gems...
He won.
He wins. Like, the matchup was close enough. With the Chaos Gem, like, we're talking a crazy amount of Sonic that Bakugo wouldn't be able to handle.
That would be too much speed.
Too much speed.
Not enough splody.
That would be a certain World's Strongest Baker that suggested that, Ryan Entner. So thank you to Ryan for that tip. If you have any other suggestions or any other notes about any of the previous matchups
we've done. Any quibbles, any pedantic quips.
We will absolutely include it in the podcast because congratulations, you are one of, I think, about 10 listeners I think I counted. So that's pretty good.
We're really craving. Like, we're going to hold on to these as hard as we can.
Absolutely. We might actually just give you the same comments in the next episode. We might just repeat these comments over and over again. But lastly, I just wanted to end our halftime with letting you know that you can contact us directly if you don't already personally know us at superbracketbros@gmail.com to contact us directly, follow along for episode updates, at our Twitter at SuperBracketBro without the S. And I will have other social media upcoming, so stay tuned for that. But otherwise, thanks for tuning in for the first official Super Bracket Bros halftime, and hope you enjoy the rest of the show. I think at the point in which he realizes that Aang's a more serious threat than he initially thought, once Aang starts tossing rocks his way.
Yeah, which he's weak to.
Yeah, he's going to kind of buckle up a little bit, and that's why I think you see Bone Rush come in, you see Extreme Speed, and I think him utilizing his Extreme Speed or his Quick Attack, like, that's going to be a lot faster than Aang can handle initially.
Well, Aang's speed, sort of, again, referencing a past fight, reminds me a lot of Sora's flow motion, where it's not directionally quick, but just a general evasive quickness versus Lucario, who's going to be more, you know, flying off the walls and things like that.
I see Lucario being able to use his speed laterally and go straight at Aang. And Extreme Speed does provide some directional attack. I kind of referenced the Super Smash Bros. Ability here, where that's his recovery, and you're able to angle him somewhat when you're recovering, and it'll hit enemies along the way. And so I think that's something to consider here, is he does have some mobility, some directional changes with his extreme speed, but it is limited.
And you mentioned his aura spheres, they're not going to do a whole bunch of damage to Aang, probably.
Well, that's the thing, is the aura sphere is directly tied to aura.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to become more powerful, and they're going to become more powerful faster as the battle goes on. As he takes more hits, his aura sphere grows in size and grows in power faster.
Well, this would be a good transition. This fight, more than any other I think we've done, we really should differentiate the beginning versus the latter part of the fight. Because once Lucario's rage builds up, he's a completely different fighter.
Yeah, definitely.
So let's say, like, the later stages of the fight, I'm guessing they're both trading blows, they're both getting weakened and everything, but Aang is going to notice that Lucario is getting beefier.
Yeah.
Which I think that's when Aang is going to start pulling out the fire, which Lucario is, you know, weak to.
Yeah, I think the fire is where Lucario is in a lot of danger. I think Lucario stands to take the most damage from fire. Talking also from the Pokemon universe being weak to fire, but also fire being so damaging in The Last Airbender, and it being like the most offensive type of bending. And I think Aang isn't going to use it liberally, but I think he's certainly going to start using it just to be able to lash out against him and to be able to protect himself when he starts to get overwhelmed and get hit by more powerful aura spheres.
Yeah, that's what I think he's going to fire as a... Again, I don't think he's going to use it offensively. I think he's going to use it to stave off the extreme speed. Because I think... Like, how defensive is Aang physically?
Like, as in, like, durability?
Yeah, durability-wise.
I mean, he's also kind of just a kid.
Yeah, and Lucario is
a Pokemon.
Made of steel.
Yeah.
And fighting. I don't know what that means, but he's made of fighting.
Well, he's made of steel. That's important.
Yeah. But, like, those physical blows, they're going to do a lot of damage.
Yeah.
And I trust Lucario as a fighter, especially with his rage, to be able to get a few licks in.
Yeah, I think he'll be able to get some licks in. I think he'll get a couple of early hits in. I don't think that's going to do much more damage than any other bender would, or regular person would, punching Aang. I think it becomes more serious as the battle goes on. So I think kind of the flow of the battle, early battle, you see Aang take the advantage. He takes a couple of hits, but he's eventually going to be able to evade, attack, evade, attack Lucario.
So I think as we're talking about the latter part of this match, I think towards the end, it's going to be Aang in a little bit of a higher position.
Going back to early to the late battle, you see Lucario is going to... I think in mid-battle, that's where he takes the advantage. Being in a more hurt state, being able to dish out more damage, I think it's going to put Aang in a pretty rough position. And once Aang's in that rough position...
And that's when we need to talk about the different forms. That's when the glowy eyes come out.
Yeah, that's when I think Aang goes into the Avatar state. And this is kind of this is the end game for Aang. You know, this is what comes out of the end of the season, end of the last episode, where he goes all out, goes into a state where he's not until the end of the series is conscious of what's going on around him.
Yeah.
Really. It's where the bending goes beyond anything we're able to see of any other character. I mean, in the series, examples that come to mind, I think it's at the season end of season one, where he turns into the giant water monster.
Yes.
Like, the towers.
Just the casual.
Yeah. Like, towers, I mean, probably 20 stories tall.
Yeah.
Just forms this water around him and uses it to destroy an entire Fire Nation army.
And then eats the general.
And then eats the general. And then, of course, at the very end of the series, he has all four elements at his disposal, creates this air sphere around him that creates this protection, has fire shooting out all four of his limbs and his mouth, has rocks flying around him.
It's very dramatic.
Yeah.
Let's not forget water either.
Yeah, and he has water, yeah. And so he has all four of these where he just completely overwhelms, second to him, the most powerful bender in the verse on the most powerful day.
Yeah, Ozai, Sozin's comment.
Yeah,
and all that.
Where he goes against Fire Lord Ozai, who is the most powerful firebender, and is even more powerful because of Sozin's comment.
Yeah, he was burning a continent.
Yeah.
And, and so the fact that Aang, in this super, I'm just going to say it, Super Saiyan state of element, is just bodied Ozai.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like...
No, it wasn't
wrecking
even
shop.
Like, it wasn't even close. Like, he's wiping the floor with him once he went into the Avatar state.
And I think the important distinction is that Ozai was wiping Aang before that. And
yeah.
I think the big difference is Aang went on the offensive when he entered the Avatar state.
Yeah.
And so this whole battle, we're talking about how Lucario is going to be on the offensive and Aang on the defensive. If that roles flips, Lucario's going to be in some serious shit.
And I think this is where we break out Lucario's other form. I feel like the millisecond that he sees Aang going to the Avatar state,
oh, he's like...
Lucario's going Mega Lucario.
Yep.
Instantly.
So I'm not too well-versed on Mega Lucario. What exactly is his form?
So Mega Lucario, essentially from what I understand, is... it's just a beefed up version of Lucario. His attack potency increases, his defense increases, his speed increases, as well as his aura abilities increase. As in, I think I said it earlier in the Pokedex entry that normally his aura can sense within like a half mile or something like that. When he becomes Mega Lucario, his aura range becomes much wider, so he can feel a much wider variety of auras. And what that does is it essentially overwhelms Lucario. Mm-hmm. And so when he becomes Mega Lucario, he becomes heartless in battle. And so essentially what you would use here is the term called bloodlusted.
Right.
Where nothing is going to stop him.
Like, his eyes go red and he's
literally
just...
his eyes go red, like, with murder in mind.
So both these fighters are... well, Avatar State's almost like a bloodlust, because
yeah,
Aang doesn't have control of that.
They're very similar in this facet as well.
Oh, this is... I think the fight ends right away. Like, these
right
two,
away?
Yeah, these two bloodlusted characters are just going to do one, like... kind of like a samurai strike, you know? They're both going to go at each other.
Yeah.
And like, I can't imagine being in the state they are, being so damaged and so pushed to the brink that the last attack, like, they're going to try and finish the other one off as soon as possible.
Yeah, like, this is where it definitely comes to a head. Like, at the most, they're trading a couple blows that shake the Southern Air Temple.
Yeah.
Like, which we haven't talked about at all, really, as far as home field advantage for Aang. But I don't know if it necessarily provides a lot of context here.
Well, I think the context comes when he enters the Avatar state, because he's fucking flying.
Yeah.
So he has that glider and everything, and he's super mobile, jumping up and around. But with the Avatar state, he's literally flying.
Yeah.
I think at that point, he just starts like going in like a comet straight towards Lucario. But to answer your question, I don't think the Air Temple itself is going to have that much.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either. Not anything that's going to affect what we've talked about so far. I think it comes into play here as far as Lucario cannot fly and can't get knocked off this mountain.
Also, it's a mountain, so it's made of earth.
Yeah, so it provides a lot of ammo for Aang.
Yeah, which is just a severe disadvantage.
Yeah. And so I don't want to necessarily underestimate how much more powerful Lucario gets, because you're talking about, on top of being damaged and having a higher aura power, like, I think if he got an aura sphere to make contact with Aang as Mega Lucario at this state of the battle, I think Aang would be done.
But conversely, Aang is super fire moded right now.
Yeah.
And super, like, earth strong too, so.
Yeah. I don't know if he'd be able to tank the hits, but I think the key part here is when he goes into the Avatar state, and in particular, the state that I'm thinking of is he creates a literal air shield around him.
Now the question is, does the Aura Sphere penetrate that?
I think it does to a limited extent, but I think this is where also Aang's connection to energy and connection to aura and spirit and things like that also comes into play, because I think that's intertwined with his bending and intertwined with his ability to block something like an aura sphere.
Right.
Especially at this apex of the battle, at this climax of the battle, it's going to be tough for him. Like, I just don't see him necessarily taking that death blow. Not death blow, but...
Yeah, like the finishing, yeah. Whereas we can see Lucario getting struck down by either fire or a big boulder.
It's just those innate video game weaknesses. when it's built into the system like that, it's tough to rationalize.
But this is a good fight.
Exactly. Like, there's no version of this in my mind where it goes down in the first or second round. Like, this goes three rounds. Mm-hmm. Like, this goes to the end of the battle, to that big finish.
Right.
So what are you thinking?
You know, I am waiting for that samurai showdown. Aang in the air, Lucario on the ground, both in their final evolutions. Lucario getting a raged up aura sphere, getting ready. Mm-hmm. Aang flying towards him, like having a little wind turbine fire thing, and they both meet blows. I think Lucario puts everything he has into that aura sphere, but Aang has another attack in him.
Yeah.
Whether it's be earth or water, he can still do something.
Yeah.
And I think when those attacks meet and disperse, Aang will be standing over Lucario, sort of gas, still having enough in him.
Yeah.
And that's when he brings out the lion turtle and Zen modes Lucario.
Takes away his fighting
style. No!
Just makes him a normal type.
No! But what do you think?
That's kind of how I feel too. I see it exactly like that, like going into the final confrontation, and then exactly that. Lucario builds up a giant aura sphere and launches it at Aang. And Aang sliding past it, or just slipping right through it,
mm-hmm.
heading towards Lucario, either using fire to take him out, or earth to trap him, or simply knocking him off of the Southern Air Temple into the abyss, and then subsequently saving him.
Yeah.
But still having defeated him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I give it to Aang 8 out of 10 times.
I agree, too.
Yeah.
But Lucario pushed him.
I think for being a two seed, he definitely pushed him here. Mm-hmm. I think that's definitely worth noting.
But this was such a perfect just matchup almost.
Yeah.
They both are so similar but so different.
When I was thinking about like what Pokemon I wanted to introduce in this tournament, Lucario obviously came to mind because I'm very partial to him. But being a fighting type and putting him up against Aang was a very enticing matchup, I think. You know, if you're a more diehard Lucario fan than I am, you can make an argument in his favor. You know, I could see that for sure.
But we're both in agreement.
Yeah, I think Aang moves on in this tournament, continues on in the West. Next week matchup, we'll continue in the West. We'll go one fighter that got a top seat over Aang. We'll go with Raiden from Mortal Kombat versus Crash Bandicoot.
Your boy.
And I know what you're thinking right now. that, oh, great, I can skip this episode because I know who's going to win.
If you want to hear some ass backwards logic and arguments, tune into next week. My God.
Don't just tune into next week. Tune into every week. But next week especially.
Well, this tournament's getting exciting.
Yeah, I feel good about it, so.
We're bringing in the Crash Bandicoot.
So we'll have Crash Bandicoot and Raiden next week, and then the week after that, we'll be going to Elsa from Frozen 2 versus Spider-Man. TBD, which version of Spider-Man?
Oh, God. God.
I know, that'll be the first 30 minutes of that episode.
Well, let's use all the Spider-Mans. Every single one.
Every single
one. I'm sure there's a comic storyline where one became a god. Let's just do that.
Let's just do that one. So thank you for joining us for Aang versus Lucario. Hope you enjoyed it, and look forward to seeing you next time on Super Bracket Bros. Oh, I'm sorry. Got anything else for the people, Eli?
Nope.
I wanna be the very best, like no one ever was. To catch them is my real test. To train them is my cause.